Amen. Good morning. It's good to see each of you here today, those that are gathered in the sanctuary, those in the parking lot, and those at the homes. We hope you've had a good week, and I was just telling Brother Rick, that's one of the reasons I like to gather in the sanctuary, to hear that piano playing and D bouncing off over there. So, great deal. Hope you've had a good week. If you haven't looked at your birthday calendar this week, and you don't have one, we've got some right here, so pick one up. But this week, we've had a lot of birthdays in the church. Mr. Hollis turned 29 again. Dan Collins had a birthday. Cheryl Gleaton had a birthday. Marsha Lee had a birthday. Levi Merritt turned 12 years old this week. So, oh, now he said it was 12, Cheryl. Didn't he, Waylon? Didn't he say he was 12? Yeah. Anyway, he's 13 now, so you got a teenager. Good luck. Melissa Connor had a birthday this week. Emmy Cook and Miss Joyce Tolliver. How old's Emmy? Emmy's 8? 9? 8? Okay. Well, if you had a birthday this week and you're here with us or you're in the sound of our voice, happy birthday to each and every one of you. And just think, you made it through 2020. And so now we're in 2021 and things are looking up and moving on. Several announcements this morning. The Wednesday morning Sunday school, adult Sunday school, will not meet again this week. They're still waiting on some more better numbers or whatever from the health team as far as what's going on. So plans are to meet as soon as the health team gives the go-ahead on that. So we'll keep them in mind with that. Which means our health team will meet this week to determine where we're at for next week and what's going on and things of that nature. So be listening out for that. It'll be on Facebook. Your deacons will know about it, and they should call you, text you, whatever, during the week to let you know kind of the plans for the upcoming week. I want to say, and some of you may do this. I know we do it at our house, but I want to say thank you to Larry. Y'all, Larry has been doing that Sunday school lesson for almost a year now on Sunday mornings at 8:30. And that is a good lesson time. And so if you've got some time and you hadn't been listening or looking in, tune in to Larry on Facebook next Sunday morning at 8:30 and join it. You can listen to it later. Yeah, it'll still be on there, but I like to get the live version. It's the only time I'm still enough, Tammy. So I like that. For those of you that are in the parking lot behind us, someone will come along before the end of the service. Did you find somebody, Mike? Or it will be Mike. Mike Newberry will come by, and he's going to collect tithes and offerings. If any of you have an offering out there in the parking lot, just raise your hand when he comes out or blow your horn at him or whatever, and he will collect the money for our accounting team to be working on. And also, I've seen many of you, we've got our offering plates in here for those that bring your offering for here. Prayer and praises. Susan, Philip came home this week, so that's a praise and a prayer. Philip is home from Jacksonville. I talked to Chris yesterday, or Friday, maybe both days. Kim is doing a lot better. She's at home, not feeling, having a whole lot of symptoms or anything right now, but she's at home and doing better. Ms. Ethel Johnson, many of you may not know, Ms. Ethel had a fall this past week and at her house, and she was taken to the emergency room just to check up on her. No broke bones, nothing, just bruised up a little bit, or maybe a lot, I don't know. So we need to keep Ms. Ethel in our prayers. Mr. Jack Jacobs' family, Mike and Julie and their family in the passing of Mr. Jack. Mike Williams lost an uncle this week, Ben Long from down Decatur County, and his aunt Joanne is also sick with COVID on top of everything else, Mike, that's right. And then her two sons have it as well as their wives or families or whatever, so we need to be in prayer for the Long family down that way. So, Mary Ruth's cousin, that's right, I didn't think about that. I just got the first side of it. So let's be in prayer for them. Also, we need to be in prayer for our country. We know what has taken place, and we need to be praying for people to start trusting each other again and quit distrusting everything everybody says. Now, a lot of it's probably warranted, but we got to take the high road. So let's pray for trust in our country and in our community and all around us as we move forward in 2021. Yes, Scott. Susan. Okay, for those of y'all in the parking lot and those of y'all here that might not have heard all that, Brian Kelly from Cockwood has got COVID. He's in the hospital on a ventilator. The latest labs, you say, things are looking a little better. Labs are good. But they need to pray for healing of the lungs. Is that what you said? All right, healing of the lungs and the stomach. So let's please keep those people in mind, also the Kelly family. All right, any more prayer requests, praises? Anybody got any praises this morning? Tammy. Right. Mm-hmm. Almost a week. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't know. No. Okay. 50 years old. Tammy mentioned, and many of you may have seen it on Facebook, Mark Van Rysselberg. They grew up over here on part of JMJ. He's missing. Been missing for 2 weeks, basically. And no sign of anything from what I gather. But we need to pray for that family, the Van Rysselberg family, at this time and remember them. Okay, anything else? Any other prayer request? Y'all, it's good to see you this morning. I'm telling you, it's one thing to be in the parking lot, and I'm glad those are there, but it's another thing when people are in here, because the last couple of weeks it's been Rick and Ryan and me and Dee and Mike and John. That's a bad crew to have in here by ourselves, okay? So we're glad y'all are here. Let's open with a word of prayer and then get your singing voices ready. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for another day and another opportunity to come to your house and to worship you. And Lord, as I mentioned earlier, it's great to be in the house of the Lord today, to be able to see other Christians and to share our concerns and our prayer requests. And Lord, to celebrate birthdays and Lord, just to be with your people. And we thank you so much for that. We pray for those that have been mentioned, those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we just ask that you be with them, be with their families, comfort them at this time. Lord, for those that are in the hospitals with COVID or whatever else and they can't have anybody in there with them, we just ask that you wrap your arms around and be with the nurses and the doctors and those that tend to them, and just pray that you'll be with them throughout this situation. Lord, we pray for our country, for the trust that we need to be showing and the distrust that we need to try to get rid of, Lord. I know it's going to be hard, but we as Christians need to take the first step. And let us do it in our individual lives and in our corporate lives here as a church and in our workplaces and wherever we're at, Lord. Let us look to you to guide us and lead us and help us in that manner. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us. We pray for Rick as he brings our sermon today, that you would be with him and give him the words that he would lead us into a better relationship with you. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times when we fail you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a medley of songs this morning. And for those of y'all here in the sanctuary, we'll have them on the screen. For those of y'all in the parking lot, good luck. You know most of them by heart, and if not, you can at least hum along or listen to Dee play the piano. So the first medley is We Bring Sacrifice of Praise, He Has Made Me Glad, and This Is the Day. And then we'll stop and catch our breath for a minute, and then we'll fire up again. So if you will, let's sing. Dee, go ahead. bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. All right, now catch your breath. Oh, Lord.
Now we're going to do this one twice, right? This is two verses just to the end. Not good. Okay. No extra. No extra. Okay.
All right, this next one, Days of Elijah, we've sang it in the choir. We've sang it out here plenty of times. I tell you what, let's stand up and sing this. Ms. Beverly, you can stand up and move a little bit on this one. Let's sing this if we will. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are your laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Thank you. Good singing. Great singing. If you take your Bibles, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 1. And we'll be looking at chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 this morning. And the title of the message is, What Will It Take? What Will It Take? I know in some times of our lives when things are going great, things are going well, sometimes we begin to drift a little bit. Maybe we're not involved in our prayer life as much as we ought to, or maybe our Bible study time hasn't been as strong as it used to be, or maybe our sharing of our faith, or whatever it might be. Sometimes we always have to be aware of the temptations of our enemy and all the things he would like to try to do to us, and we always need to stay faithful. And in Nehemiah's case, you know, things were going great until he heard news of Jerusalem and what had happened because of the captivity. And yet God got his attention, and he changed his life, and he started doing the things that God had called him to do. And I think he's one of the greatest leaders, one of the greatest administrators in the Word of God because of his leadership skills in building the wall back in Jerusalem. There 52 days to get all that done and get the gates back up. So let's look at, I'm just going to read the first four verses, and then we'll get into the rest a little bit later. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Kislew, in the 20th year I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked him, according to the Jews who escaped, who had survived the captivity and concerning Jerusalem? And they said to me, the survivors are left from the captivity. In the province are there this great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great example of a great man of God. Lord, a great leader, as we see, when God finally got his attention. And Lord, the things that you laid upon his heart, because you had a plan for his life, not only just being the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, but yet, Father, leading a group of people back to his hometown there of Jerusalem to be able to rebuild those walls, going through all opposition and problems and obstacles that many tried to throw in his path. Yet he stayed faithful and also stayed as a man of encouragement to encourage these people to always be watching, yet continue to rebuild the walls and get those gates back up, because the city of Jerusalem, that great city of God, was vulnerable to the enemy. And so we thank you, Lord. There are times in our lives where things go great, and sometimes we may seem to drift a little bit. And yet, because you love us, we know the Word of God says, those that you love, that you chastise. Lord, to bring us back, just like the prodigal son when he came to himself and realized what he had done and how he had sinned against God and sinned against his father. And he came back repentantly and got things right with the Lord and got things right with his father. So, Father, I pray that if there may be any, Lord, today that maybe drifting and not realizing. Sometimes we can be deceived, and yet help us to come to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. And we'll praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things I want you to sort of get with me this morning. The first one is the problems that Nehemiah encountered. The problems that he encountered. First of all, notice Nehemiah's calmness, because he hadn't heard the news of the city of Jerusalem, what had happened. And we'll see how that changed his whole life. In verse number one, it says, the words of Nehemiah. In fact, the name Nehemiah means Jehovah comforts. And as I thought about that, I thought about 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we have a God that's all comfort, that gives us comfort when we need that. And so it says, Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it says, it came to pass in the month of Kislew, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan, the citadel, Things that you need to know, the month of Kislew, their calendar was a whole lot different from our calendar. They would take the last 2 weeks of one month and the first 2 weeks of the next month, and that would be their calendar. So we find ourselves there at the end of November, the 1st of December, and it says that he's in the 20th year, and that means that King Artaxerxes was the king during that time. It was in his 20th year, that he was in a place called Shushan, which is also Susa in the Word of God, that it was a fortified palace, a place of protection. So here's a man that's been called by God. He's a cupbearer. We know what that cupbearer is. His main deal was he would always taste the king's food before it was offered to him. He would always take a drink of the drink that the king was going to get. Because if someone decided to poison the king, well, the cupbearer would die, but long live the king. So I don't know if that was a good job or a bad job. I would think that was a good job because as far as Nehemiah is concerned, he had the peace of God. There was a peace about him. He was prosperous, very successful. He had political power because he and the king developed over the years a very intimate, strong relationship because this guy was willing to give up his life that the king would continue to live. So we see a calmness in his life. Then the second thing I want you to notice is Nehemiah's concern. The Bible says in verse 2 that Hanani, one of my brethren, in fact, in chapter 7 of Nehemiah, verse 2, he actually calls him his brother. So it's a sibling of Nehemiah that he came with some men of Judah, and he asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. Two things that concerned him the most was his people, the Jews, and also what's going on at the city of Jerusalem. Just to give you a quick history lesson, we know by looking back at history, there was a great captivity that took place. In fact, Israel had been divided into two countries, basically. 10 northern tribes made up what was called Israel. The two bottom tribes were from Judah. And what had happened, God had given them the Word of God over and over again. He had sent them prophet after prophet after prophet, teaching them what they needed to do, how they ought to live, praising the Lord, living their lives, giving Him glory and praise. And of course, just like people, there were times where they rejected the Word of God. They disobeyed God. They rebelled against God. And they sinned against God. And so God told him that if you continue to do that, I'm gonna bring consequences for your sin. And so he did that. In 722 BC, he sent the Assyrians who came to the 10 tribes in the north and basically scattered them abroad. Then in 586 BC, God took the Babylonian Empire as they came in and almost totally depopulated the city of Jerusalem. And so there's a principle there that we need to always be remembered that, you know, if you sin, there will be consequences. Thank God there's still forgiveness. God forgives our past, present, and future sin, but yet there will be consequences for our sin. And so he's asking about the captivity. And see, the Babylonian Empire came in, and for 70 years, they were ruling and reigning and that kind of a thing. With the two tribes of Judah. And so it was during this time, this captivity, that eventually there was a man by the name of Cyrus who was a Persian king. The Persian Empire came in and destroyed the Babylonian Empire. And eventually Cyprus gave the Jews the opportunity to go back to their homeland. It was total destruction. In fact, the first group was led by Zerubbabel and Joshua, and they came to repair the temple of God. And then the second group, according to Ezra chapter 1 and verse 6, Ezra brought in the second group. And then third of all, Nehemiah comes along, according to Ezra chapter 7 through chapter 10, to bring this other group to rebuild the walls, to make them fortified again, and make sure that they were under the security as best as they could. And so he hears this. And then notice third of all, Nehemiah's calamity. Things start breaking up in his life because the Bible says in verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors who were left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Well, what we see here, the word distress means they were in great trouble. Also, the word reproach means there was a disgrace there because of what had happened during this warfare. But yet he was concerned about the Jews and concerned about Jerusalem. Back in the Word of God, the walls and the gates represent certain things. Having gates and walls, of course, represent that, that it was a place of strength. It was a place of safety. It was a place of security. And so I began to think about that as I studied this particular passage this week. And I asked myself, are there any walls in my life that have broken down? Are there any gates in my life that need to be repairing? And what about you? Are there anything in your life that needs to be repaired? Is your relationship with God the way it ought to be? Are you walking as God is leading? Are you in the Word of God in prayer? Or what about the wall of your marriage? Is it okay? What about the walls of your finances? What about the walls of your spiritual life? What about the prayer walls? Are you spending quality time with God, intimately with God in prayer? What about the walls of Bible study? Every day, are you involved in getting intimate with God by studying His Word, saying, Lord, here am I. I want to hear what Your Word has to say. Give me instruction, Lord. Teach me in the way that You ought to go. What about the walls of giving? You know, when I think about giving, I think more about not just tithes and offerings, but I think about the time that God has given every one of us. We have the same amount of time. What are we doing with our time? Is there time for God in those 24 hours during the day? What about the skills and the talents, the spiritual gifts that God has given us? Are those walls down? Is there need of repair in many of these things in our lives? And so it made an impact on Nehemiah's life. So we see that at first he was calm. Second of all, he was concerned. Then the calamity. And then notice Nehemiah's compassion. When he heard exactly what was going on, it totally broke his heart. Verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down, I wept, I mourned. You see the intensity there. I mourned many days. We don't know exactly how many there were. Then he began to fast. He began to do without food. I don't know if he just did a water fast or whatever he did, but he fasted. And then the Bible says he always prayed before the God of heaven. You know, I think about his life, and it reminds me of sometimes of our lives, where sometimes we drift. There were other people in the Word of God that the same thing happened to them. I think about Moses in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, where Moses saw an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting, so he thought he'd step in, and eventually he killed the Egyptian. And of course, Pharaoh found out about it, and he fled for his life. We don't find anywhere where he did any kind of confession or got right with God. But we do know in Exodus chapter 3 that the angel of the Lord, a picture of Christ, came. And Moses, his attention was definitely gotten as he saw a bush that was burning with fire yet not consumed. He kept looking, thinking that eventually the fire was going to burn up the bush. But it got his attention. And when God got his attention, he said, Moses, take off your sandals, because the place that you're standing on is holy ground. I just believe that Moses got right with God because he had a plan. He had a purpose for Moses. He was about to lead 2.5 million people out of bondage from the Egyptians in or headed to the promised land. And so I would think that he had gotten right with God because of this leadership ability, because of what he was going to have to do, spending time leading this nation from Egypt into the promised land. I also think about Pharaoh, how God tried to get his attention. And we know in the Word of God there were all kinds of plagues that were given. And in the Word of God, in chapter 7 of the book of Exodus, we find that the Lord sent blood, first turning the water into blood. Then He sent frogs, He sent lice, He sent flies, He sent livestock that was diseased, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and finally the firstborn, that the blood was not sprinkled over the door. We know the death angel came by, and when he didn't see the blood, the firstborn in that family died. Well, Pharaoh was up and down, up and down. He would say, let him go, then he'd harden his heart. Let him go, harden his heart. Let him go, harden his heart. And finally, there at the end, he said, okay, just get out of here. And they left. Of course, His heart was hardened again. He never got right with Almighty God. And of course, you know the story, how he got the army and they ran after the nation of Israel and eventually drowned. So God didn't really get his attention, even though there was effort after effort after effort after effort. His heart was hard against God. And that's one thing we ought to be praying about for our nation. We need to be praying for people in our community that maybe their heart has become hard against God. Maybe God's tried to get their attention through many different kinds of circumstances and things that go just in daily life. Also think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. And the Bible says in verse 1, when King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his temple." I don't know what Isaiah was doing before that. I know that he had not confessed his sin. He had not gotten right with God, because we find out when God gets his attention, even through death, Isaiah realized and he began to say, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I am among a people of unclean lips." And he began to get right with God. You know, the angel came and took the tongs off the altar and his sins were cleansed because God had a plan for him. But he wasn't right. And finally, he got his attention. And finally, Isaiah confessed his sin before God. And he was able to say, "Now, Lord, now send me. Give me the opportunity to do what you've called me to do." We think about Jonah. Jonah says, "I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach." God says, "I want you to preach the word of God." And here's a preacher that didn't want to preach. That's amazing to me. And so we find him going in the opposite direction. Eventually, you know the story, on the ship, the waves are going crazy. The sea captains and all the people that are on board are about ready to give up their lives. And Jonah comes forth and says, "I'm the problem." And so they shifted him off, threw him off overboard. And of course, we know the fish swallowed him. I don't know about you, but I think that kind of thing would have got my attention. And so it did. And eventually he went to Nineveh and he preached the word of God. And many souls, many lives were changed. So thank God there were some who, through the pricking of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the drawing, there were those in the Word of God who had drifted, great men and women of God, who had drifted away from God, and God used circumstances and situations and problems and difficulties to get their attention because He loved them. Because God loves those and He chastens those that He loves. And so we see the problems encountered. But second of all, notice the prayer exercised. Man, when Nehemiah got right, man, this prayer is just an unbelievable prayer of a man that's broken. He's getting right with Almighty God. He wants to serve. God has a plan for this man, an unbelievable plan to lead people back to Jerusalem, again, rebuilding the walls. I mean, that's an amazing thing for a man, and I don't know exactly how many men that went with him. Through all the obstacles and problems and difficulties that Satan threw, he got a little bit discouraged, but he stood strong upon the Word of God, and the walls were done in 52 days. Notice, first of all, this prayer involved praise. And that's always a good place to start, isn't it? A place of praise. And if you'll notice in verse 5, there are five things he praised God about. He said, "And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments." Five things that he praises God for. First of all, he praises God for his superiority. He said, "You are Lord. You are God. You are superior. There's none like you on the face of the earth or outside of the face of the earth. There's none like you. You are the ruler. You are God and God alone." Then he praises God for God's strength. He said, "God, you're great. You're great." And like the psalmist said, "You're great and greatly to be praised. You are awesome." In fact, you know what? I think that's the only word that ought to be designated to God. I use it sometimes in the wrong way. "Oh, that was awesome." No, God is awesome. Amen? God is the only one that's awesome. And so he praised God for his strength. He praised God for his sovereignty. He said, "God, you are sovereign. You are always faithful. You're the one," as he says here in the verse, "you keep your covenant." And you go all the way back to Adam and Eve all the way through the Old Testament. Every covenant that God got with man, he always fulfilled that covenant. Man was always the problem. Man was the one that was rebellious. Man was the one that was disobedient. Man was the one that sinned. But God has always been faithful. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, but as God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He's always faithful when you and I are not. He's always faithful when our friends are not. He is always faithful every time, all throughout the day. So he praised God for His sovereignty. Then notice he praised God for His sacredness. He said in that verse, in verse 5, he said, you who keep your covenant and you keep mercy. You keep mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be excited and thankful and gracious when we pray to say, oh God, thank you that you don't give me what I do deserve. You don't give me what I deserve. You're graceful, God. Lord, you give me what I don't deserve. But yet, mercy, He doesn't give us what we do deserve. And so he prays God for His sacredness or His mercy. And finally, he prays God for His sincerity. He said here, not only all that, but to those whom you love and observe your commandment. You know, we're taught in the Word of God that one of the best things that we can do in our prayer time is to start with praise and end with praise. And so his prayer did that, as you'll see a little bit later on. So we see this prayer was involved with praise. Second of all, notice the perception in verse number 6. Listen to his heart. He says, please, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. We know God is omniscient. We know that God knows all things. We know that God hears. But you know, the Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So it's important that we confess our sins. Agree with God. Lord, I blew it today. My anger, my lust, my bitterness, my hatred, my jealousy, my envy, whatever it might be specific in your prayers. And so he says, Lord, please perceive, know my heart, know that what I'm praying is genuine and real. You've got my attention. I know I should have been doing certain things in my life. And Lord, thank you for opening my eyes and my heart to the things of God. Then notice the perseverance. Now, this prayer wasn't just to lay me down to sleep kind of praying. Notice what he said in verse 6, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night. There was a perseverance. In fact, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus was about to give a parable. And he said that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, not to quit, not to give up, not to faint. Always, always be persistent. And he gave several illustrations there about the woman that came to the unjust judge who feared not God nor man, but she kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And finally, he said, I do not fear God, I do not fear man, but because of the persistence of this woman, I'm going to answer a prayer. And we need to be persistent in our praying. Then notice, if you would, his penitence. Notice he gets right with confession. Listen to what he said, and listen how he says it. In verse number six, he's praying night and day. Then at the end of verse 6, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted corruptly against you and have kept not the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you have given or commanded to your servant Moses. I want you to notice the words that we've acted very corruptly. The word there means to damage. We've damaged our relationship. It also means to wound or to cause pain or to cause hurt. Lord, we've hurt you. I'm sure we've caused pain because of your sin. I remember Jesus looking over Jerusalem in Matthew and praying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I'd love to gather you together as a mother hen does his chicks, but you would not listen to me. I wonder when we sin, does it hurt God? Does it bring pain? We know it damages our relationship because we're not as close to him as we ought to be. Because God cannot look upon sin. He's a holy, awesome God. And yet he says, I'm praying not only for my life. I'm praying for our people. We have sinned against you. But notice he says, we've not kept the word. The word's commandments and statutes and ordinances are actually relevant to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We have not obeyed the word of God. We've not kept the word of God. In fact, John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so the opposite of that, if you don't obey the word of God, then you don't love him. And so he's pouring out his heart in confession, in penitence to God. And then notice this prayer involves promises. And there are three things that Nehemiah learns, I think it would be good for us to learn in verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. First of all, the first promise, he remembers the consequences of unfaithfulness. He remembers that when we are unfaithful, there will be consequences. Listen to what he said in verse 8. He goes on to say, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. And that's what he did with the northern tribes of Israel through the Assyrians. That's what he did here with the people of Judah, with the Babylonian Empire, almost depopulating the great city of Jerusalem. But we find here he realizes that when we are unfaithful, yes, we can pray and confess our sin, but there will be consequences. Like a guy that jumps off the Empire State Building, he finally realizes, you know, this was a real smart thing to do. Well, you know, he may confess all he wants to, but man, it's Splat City. It's all she wrote. And that's the way it is with our sin. You know, if we really remembered that when we are unfaithful and rebellious and disobedient, that there will be consequences. It might not be right away. It might be down the road, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe years. We don't know. But whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. You can bank on that. Farmers, you guys understand that. But then the second promise, notice he recognized what God would do if they did repent. This is sort of the opposite side of that. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. He said, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there, bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. He recognized that if I do right, God will bless. Obedience always brings blessing. That's one of the principles that Charles Stanley brings out. Obedience always brings blessings. And that's what he learned there. He recognized that if I'm faithful and if I do what God calls me to do, then God will bless me. God will reward me, whatever that might be. But then the third principle, he referenced this last verse, verse 10, to God's deliverance. That God is a deliverance. Here, remember, the nation of Israel, they cried out to God. They cried out to God. It wasn't just praying. It was crying out to God. Lord, you see the situation that we're in. Oh, God, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. And God always comes through. Notice in verse 10, he says, now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Lord, you are the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Thank God he's redeemed us from our sins. We've been bought at a price. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in this body. That's not your own. It's the Lord's. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us. He's cleansed us. He's done great and awesome things in our lives. Every day he gives us grace. Every day he gives us peace and wisdom. And everything that we need to live the life that he desires for us to live. And then finally, the last thing, he makes a petition. It's basically a rerun of what he prayed in verse 5. Look at it, verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear or reverence, respect your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And then a very unique ending. He said, For I was the king's cupbearer. I thought about that. I wondered, why did you end with that? Well, it doesn't matter whether you're a cupbearer, a housewife, a plumber, a preacher, whatever, God loves you. He wants your obedience. He wants your attention. He wants your worship. He wants your praise. He wants your love. Matthew 22 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then Mark chapter 12 says, with all your strength. In your totality, do you love him? Do you love him? And I'm glad that God loves us. Amen? God loves us. That's why he sent Jesus. And his love continues. It does not change. It's immutable. It continues on and on and on and on. He loves us despite who we are and what we've done. His love continues to be poured out upon us. But he's asking the question this morning. How many of you are like Nehemiah? Things may be great. And you know what? If you looked around, you hadn't been really praying. Isn't it amazing how the times that people pray the most is when they fall into difficulties and troubles? Why not praise him and pray while things are going wonderful? And see, he had drifted. And I wonder how many of God's people have drifted. We've drifted away from the things that we know that we ought to do. We've gone astray. And thank God, he didn't say, okay, well, just go on. I don't care about you anymore. Just go on and live your life the way you want to live. Go on and do what you want to do when you want to do it. I don't care. But no, he does. He really cares. He's compassionate. He loves us. And I wonder today, how many of us really need just to really get along with God and say, hey, Lord, things have been going well, and man, I have slacked off. I have slacked off in my walk with you. And we just need to confess that. All he wants us to do is come before him humbly with a sincere heart, just being real and saying, Lord, I just confess. I haven't been praying. I haven't been reading. I haven't been studying. I haven't been serving. I haven't been sharing. I haven't been doing what you've called me to do, Lord. Thank you that you've forgiven me. And Lord, I want to get back on the right track again. Thank God for those who today would say, hey, I'm in a state of an intimate relationship with the Lord. And I'm praying and I'm doing the things that he caught. Man, praise God for that. That's awesome. But I know in the Christian life, sometimes it gets difficult. We begin to look at the world and things around us and we lose our focus. And then God brings something into our lives because he loves us to gain our attention. And now he's got our attention. Then he calls us. He says, I've got something I want you to do. I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. But you've got to get into a situation where you're walking with me honestly and openly. And then God will begin to use you like you've never, ever before seen in your life. And I pray those things will happen in our days. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much in the name of Jesus that we have the opportunity this morning, Lord, to know you perfectly and personally. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit has been given to us, that when we do go astray, we have the decision to make whether to resist that conviction and just continue to do what we need to do, or that conviction brings us, like the prodigal son, we come to ourselves. We realize what we have forsaken and the mess that we've got ourselves in, and we confess and we want to get back right in that relationship with you because we want to be used. We're living in those last days. Jesus could come today. And Lord, we want to be ready. We want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I pray today if there may be those here in our midst who have drifted, the Spirit of God has spoken this morning, who drifted away and need to make a confession that they're involved in some circumstances because of rebellion and sin. Father, just meet with them, Father. Lord, just continue to be that forgiving God, that compassionate God that you are. And Father, continue to lead us and help us to realize that there's work to be done. That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 prayed for laborers. There's a whole lot of work that needs to be done as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, continue to walk with us. Place your hand upon us. Give us good week this week, and we'll give you the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. It's great to see you today. Hope you're going to have a super week. And we'll be getting information out to you on about next Sunday and then even the following Wednesday. Anything that needs to be brought up before us, before we close? All right. Brother Ryan, would you close us out, please, sir?